Peter, who was an apostle of Jesus Christ, wrote a letter to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These people had been strangers ever since the captivity in Assyria and Babylon, but spiritually, they had been strangers. They had become strangers when the Lord converted them. When they were given to believe in Christ, they no longer they felt here at home upon this earth. And so they then became strangers and pilgrims, traveling through the wilderness here and aiming to come to a city that has foundations. And then Peter described unto them the great blessings which they had received from God, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And after that blessing which he described unto them, it is as if he begins a church service, and then he begins to bless them, because he says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And then Peter begins to sing a doxology, and we hear what he says. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he praises God to the highest. But he also displays unto them the reason why that God ought to be praised, because he had quickened them. He had made them alive and given them a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And there are still more of these blessings which he then tells them. Because he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And the Lord will also preserve them who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And congregation, that is now the question this morning. Are we such a stranger? Are we now such a pilgrim? Has the Lord quickened us, given us a lively hope? Has he also strengthened us, guided us in this wilderness journey? Because the Lord has chosen his people, he has beloved his people, and he also shall preserve his people. What? Unto that inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, but it is reserved in heaven for you. Again then that question, what is your aiming? What is your seeking here in this life? Oh, are we truly a pilgrim no longer at home here below? That there are times you say, Lord, when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? Lord, when may the time come that I shall depart out of this life and that I shall come to that inheritance? Because what is now the inheritance that is waiting for God's children? That is the Canaan that is above. that is the Father's house in which there are so many mansions. O congregation with God's indispensable blessing, we desire to speak unto you about that inheritance and how that is obtained. And to that end, we go again unto these daughters of Zelophehad, and now we turn unto Numbers 36. Numbers 36. That is the last book of the Numbers. And thereof we shall read verse 6. Numbers 36. And this is what we read in verse 6. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. Therefore, once again, the daughters of Zelophehad, three thoughts: a tried way, a divine solution, and a blessed fulfillment. So the daughters of Zelophehad, in their tried way, receiving a divine solution, and also receiving that blessed fulfillment. Zelophehad, we saw that the last time, did not have any sons, but he had five daughters. And from the names he gave unto his daughters, we could trace out the wonder that had taken place in the life of Zelophehad, that he had experienced his own name, because that was shadow or fear of death. That was being afraid. Oh, and then his first daughter he called infirmity. That there was that fear and the impossibility of having to die. And then that second daughter, whose name was Noah, and by the way, it is spelled the same way in our English Bible as Noah who built the ark. But in the original, the names are different. For Noah, the man who built the ark, would give consolation, comfort unto the people. But this name Noah, which is written differently in the original, and hard to place into English that distinction, but that means wandering, because Zelophehad experienced that he had turned his back upon God. But then comes that next name, and that is Hogla. And that was, remember still, that there is a turning about for joy. So then the Lord visited his soul with salvation. Then his sorrow was changed into gladness, and his mourning had turned into dancing. Then he had the next one, Milcah, a queen. Oh, that is now the wife of the king. That is one of the king's family, as all God's children are. But also, there was finally Tirzah, beautiful, acceptable, pleasing unto the Lord. And see, that is what God's people are in his eyes, because he adorns them with his grace. And do we still recall it, congregation, that way of conversion in those names? And do we trace it? Can we find it in our own heart? Zelophehad had died, and we do not read about his wife. So these five daughters had become orphans. They lived in that land, not in the land of Israel, but among the people of Israel, as they were traveling to Canaan. And as so many times before, the people of Israel turned away from the Lord, departed from Him. The Lord had come with judgments. And then the next thing you read in the Bible is that Moses said to the people that they would have to count the people. They had to number them, because in the future, when they had gained the land in possession, they would have to give each one of their inheritance. And see, that now struck home. The Holy Spirit brought that in the hearts of these five daughters, because they were not sons. Their father had died, and therefore outside the inheritance. And to be outside the inheritance means that there was no name, that there was no protector, that there was no provider. Oh, and then to have a spiritual heavenly Canaan in view and to fall outside of it, not to belong to the people of the Lord. Oh, that was the grief of the heart of these five daughters of Zelophehad. And what did they now do? They brought their grief unto Moses. They were given to come unto God's servant, because He was the intercessor for them. Oh, they realized the way they lived, they could not die. And without the grace of God, they could not meet their Maker. And then it was lost. And they had nothing, nothing in their life that pointed to a promise for that eternal salvation. Oh, the love of God was shed abroad in their heart. And they loved God's house, that tabernacle. And they loved God's servant, Moses and Aaron, the priests. And they loved also the day of the Lord and the people of the Lord. And yet, to be outside, are there those who can still recall that from last week, who have experienced something of that in their heart outside, and then no promise? But did we not also hear how that the Lord gave by the mouth of Moses such a surprising answers? The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. They had been made upright and sincere. They confessed their need, the sin. They confessed that they were outside and they had no rights. Oh, God's people are made honest before the Lord. And what did the Lord then say to Moses? That those five daughters should have also a portion. They also must be included in the inheritance. Oh, and when that came in the heart of these five daughters, they were glad. They were so surprised. It was so undeserved. And yet the Lord had mercy upon them. Then there is hope at that moment. Then there is an expectation. Oh, then there are times that they could have sung, "Thou art my portion, Lord. Lord, thy words I ever heed. With all my heart, thy grace I seek, thy promises I plead." Because you have to have a promise, you have to have something that you point the Lord to, reverently speaking. That is the right pleading by faith. You know how it was in their heart. They experienced the poor man's cause. "I will maintain and save the meek that none oppress." However, can you follow it in your heart? However, what is now commonly the way for such people? How does the Lord now lead them? Oh, as long as the promise fills my heart, and as long as faith and trust is in exercise, oh, then I walk my path with gladness and I follow the Lord in all His ways. Then I trust His grace. Yes. Well, what must you now learn? That in order for the fulfillment of the promise to be given, room has to be made in our heart. Then we have to be emptied. Then we have to be placed outside of it all, congregation. Oh, And then I learned that I cannot myself hold on to the promise. Then I find out with pain and with grief that there is no strength in that promise anymore. Was it then not true? Oh, sometimes God's people say, has God forgotten grace? Yes. There are others who say, I dare not say that it was not of God. But now I have nothing anymore. And now I stand there needy and afflicted. It is so different than before. Oh, it is a people that are brought into riddles more and more. You know what God's Spirit uncovers unto them? That they miss something. And what do they miss? Oh, something is lacking. There is a void. There is a need in their heart. Oh, congregation, that becomes manifest. That is experienced. Because that promise, remember, seems to have no strength anymore. All my comforts dry up. There is strife in the soul. There comes the accusation, or that the devil really trying to sow doubt in the heart. Oh, was it even true? Or was it all imagination? You have a promise, you say, but there is no fulfillment. You know, what do you have? You have many sins, and how can you then appear before God? Oh, congregation, that is now what those daughters of Zelophehad find out. And we could ask them, what are you now missing? You know what they would have said? There are two things. There are two important, indispensable things for us that we are missing. First of all, the fulfillment of the promise. A promise is a blessing. A promise is a gracious blessing of the Lord. But it must needs be fulfilled. But there was something else in the life of these five daughters. They had no husband. And if you have no husband, then you have no children, no sons and no daughters. And if they then would think further, or if ever that inheritance would be given, though they even would question it, but if ever that inheritance would be given unto them, then who would have to work the fields? Because they are weak women. They cannot do all these things. Who would have to provide? Oh, congregation, it is a people that is filled with riddles. Is there a remnant here also yet present or listening along? Riddles come in the heart, and that is the portion of all those people. Then you cannot see the way forward, no. Oh, you see the way backward. And you see your own ruined life that you continue to sin. And then you cannot solve it yourself. You know what is a blessing in that condition? If you do not try to solve it yourself. That is in us, is it not? Think of Abraham. The promise of a son was long in forthcoming. And so he goes in unto Hagar, and Ishmael was the result. What trouble. What misery. Think of Jacob. Oh, he gave a pottage of lentils unto his brother Esau, that he would receive the right of the firstborn blessing. And then he even did not trust that anymore, because when his old father Isaac was blind and wanted to bless, then he deceived his father, and in the way of deceit obtained that blessing of the firstborn. Now we do not read this of the daughters of Zelophehad, but would it be surprising if the thoughts arose in the heart, what shall we do? What can we do? It is a blessing if we are kept from it. But when the Lord exercises his people, when he brings them into those ways that they begin to miss more and more, and end up more and more in the impossibilities of their life, then he brings them to their knees. Unless the burdens come, people, Unless the afflictions weigh us down, who shall ever pray? Oh, it has to be worked in our heart. And when the Lord does that by renewal, then I seek the Lord in that way of prayer. There is a need in the life of these daughters, a great need. And what do we then observe? That the Lord was at work in letting them experience that need, because he was at work to give them a solution in all their difficulties. He works at his time and in his manner. And it is a blessing, we say it again, to wait on the Lord, not to walk ahead of him. And what happened then? Oh, meanwhile, then we have heard that Moses was, you can read it in Numbers, that Moses was commanded by the Lord to prepare to die after he had given that promise unto the daughters of Zelophehad. And then he would have to die. But also then he asks the Lord if there would be a man given over the congregation, and that was Joshua. Moses had to mention more laws and sacrifices. He tells he has to deal with the request of Reuben, of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh who wanted the inheritance on the other side of Jordan. That was all taken care of. Then the borders of the land of Canaan were laid out. And the princes were given the instruction that they would have to divide the land of Canaan. There is a record of all the journeys of the children of Israel. And then we come to chapter 36. And we read here. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the son of Joseph, came near. And they spake before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. So they come with a request. And just before Moses has said to all these princes, you will have to divide the land. And here are now the princes of Manasseh. And they come, and what do they say? The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. That was true. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And that was also incontrovertible. That was true. And you notice how respectfully they speak to Moses. They also say unto him, my Lord. They acknowledged him as God's servant, as the leader of Israel. And they do not come with a demand. No, they come with a difficulty. They come with a trouble that they cannot resolve themselves. And what was it? It is not as if they question what the Lord had commanded about the daughters of Zelophehad, but they were not yet married. Now, if they would marry someone outside of the tribe of Manasseh, and then they belong to that other tribe through her husband, and the inheritance she would then take away, and the inheritance would then diminish the portion of the tribe of Manasseh. Oh, and not only that, there was more, because an inheritance was not to be sold. You read that later on clearly, when Naboth refused to sell that vineyard unto Ahab. And in verse 4, they say, when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. And so shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. O congregation, that is the law of Jubilee. And after 50 years, everything had to return to his original owner, the family whose land that possession was at the time of this division that is coming. And so they say, then that law of the year of Jubilee cannot be carried out. And that is what they laid before Moses. And congregation, again, it is not a demand. It is not with disrespect, but they come with their riddles before the Lord. Moses, will you now ask the Lord? And then we will submit unto whatever his will is, but that he would direct and that he would instruct that in this. And congregation, we do not read that these daughters of Zelophehad were present. Perhaps they were called. But surely they must have heard when something that involved them so closely was brought up and was laid before the Lord. How was it in the heart? The strife increased. The trouble only increased in their heart. That is why we said in the first thought, it was a tried way. And they could not help themselves. Oh, and that is commonly how it goes in the way, in the life of God's children. It is the way in which the Lord will work towards his own honor, and that he will give a divine solution. And that is the second thought. We read in verse 5, Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord. So he sought the Lord's countenance. The Lord heard him and the Lord answered him, because he now has a word of the Lord that he will say. And what was that word? The tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. Is it not remarkable that the very same word which the Lord used to speak about the request of the daughters of Zelophehad, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right, and here it is, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. It is exactly the same thing in the original. You see, the Lord brings them together, and he will show the harmony that is in him, because it is not the one over against the other. No. And this is the thing which the Lord doth command the daughters of Zelophehad. And now listen, let them marry to whom they think best. So here the Lord begins to solve that lack that is missing in the life. What is missing in the life of these daughters? Let them marry whom they think is best. So they should marry a loving husband, a desirable husband, an amiable husband, a caring husband, a protecting husband, a providing husband. Oh, they have to, the one it says here, that they think is best. Now, literally means the one that is pleasing in his own eyes. But there is a provision only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. And why? What was the reason? So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And so, what was the outcome that was made known to these daughters also? We read it in verse 9. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. They do not question, they obey. And they obey gladly, congregation. For here the need that they have brought before the Lord themselves also now receives an answer. And that is part of that, that is now that divine solution, congregation. And what do they marry? And whom do they marry? They all married unto their father's brother's sons. So they marry their cousins. And that is altogether lawful. The Lord himself has approved of that here. And it is now the Lord's way, congregation. They were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. But you realize there is more than just the history, is there not? All these daughters of Zelophehad had an eye upon the spiritual inheritance. And they were outside and yet had received a promise now that an inheritance would be given unto them. But what they still lacked, they could not fulfill themselves. What they still were missing, and that was a husband, they could not take. And that is now what the Lord himself provided. And what does the Lord now do to his people, congregation? They couldn't do anything, no. But he shows that he does everything from the beginning unto the end. And what he has done in the beginning in giving that promise, and now in pointing them to a husband, he begins to point them to one that is greater than an earthly husband. That is now that divine solution that the Lord gives unto them. Because there was one who was sent by his father. And he came to this earth. And what did he now do? He assumed human flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. So he became one with the family of men. He became the kinsman, even as Boaz was the kinsman for Ruth. And see, then he was God, and then he was man. And now he qualified as that mediator between God and man. The only mediator, and the only husband, the only spiritual bridegroom for a people that needs such a bridegroom and does not know where to find him. Oh, he was sent by his father, even as here we read it, that God appointed who should be the husband of these daughters. Oh, and then everything flows forth from God alone. The Lord opened the eyes, the spiritual eyes of these daughters of Zelophehad for him. Who was now the desirable husband? Who was the suitable husband? Who was such an amiable husband? Who was that caring and protecting and loving and providing husband? And he was all sufficient. He was altogether desirable. He was the one that they desired, congregation. Oh, what does the text say? Whom they think best. Whom they think best. And he becomes now so desirable and so pleasing in their eyes. Is it not true then? I ask this morning of all those daughters of Zelophehad. Is it not true then that he is the best? That he is precious? That he is the fairest of all the children of men and grace is poured out into his lips? Is he not the one who is altogether lovely? Is he not that bridegroom that is desired by this bride? Oh, then he is revealed unto them. He is pointed out unto them. And now he is that husband whom they love. And why do they love him? Why do they desire that communion with him? We love him because he first loved us. Oh, it always ends up in the wonder that God receives all the honor and that God's children receives the benefit of that honor. And what was now especially such a blessing for these daughters of Zelophehad? They received a husband from the Lord, and that husband secured for them the inheritance because he was one with them. He was of their kin congregation. Oh, then he takes care of it. And is that not the desire then of such a bride, of such a daughter of Zelophehad? They say, Lord, I cannot do everything. I cannot do anything. But then he will take care of it from the beginning unto the end. Oh, then they love him, congregation, with such a desire in their heart that he would indeed be their husband and they would never go away from them. Because who is he now for them? He is their protector. He is their provider. He is their husband. And he is the one that secures for them that inheritance, not yet received. But it is again a step clearer because now the mediator is revealed and they are married even unto them. Are there daughters of Zelophehad this morning that say, how true? How true? Is there a people that say, how desirable? How desirable? Shall we sing of it?